Listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, chawa, toxic newsome, salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us behind the scenes on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Today, local musician and event producer Taylor Dallas Vidic is here to delve into the process of collaboration and how it's impacting the making of her first album. David Sedaris is coming back to Juno. We chat with KTOO's Cheryl Snyder about this awesome satirist and his love for Juno in this fundraising performance happening next week. And we have preview of upcoming events with the Juno Chamber of Commerce and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Music, conversation, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
Support comes from Juno Compost, recycling the community's food scraps and yard debris into compost since 2017, serving households, businesses, offices, and more with curbside collection and drop-off options, online at junocompost.com. Juno Jazz and Classics presents Blues Dance, featuring guitarist Memphis Gold, on May 9th at 7 p.m. at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. The performance delivers soulful rhythms and vibrant melodies, channeling the heart of blues tradition with spirited energy. A pre-concert dance lesson begins at 6 p.m. Details for May 9th available at jazzandclassics.org. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics.
And now, live from the red carpet stage, Taylor Dallas Vidic with Spencer Edgars.
Watching through windows, wondering when you'll pass by. Hoping you'll be looking through and I might again catch your eye. It's been 3 weeks now since we said goodbye. I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high, can't find that high, I miss your heart. What if I told you that you're still in my dreams, that I can't help but think about you even when I'm trying to sleep? It's been 2 months now since we said goodbye. I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high. Can't find that high. I miss your high. Even walk my way. It's been one year now since we said goodbye. I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high. Can't find that high. I miss your high. Can't find that high. Can't find that high. Can't find that high. Do you miss our high?
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's so nice. Come have a seat over here. That's Taylor Dallas Vidic live on the KTOO red carpet stage with special guest Spencer Eckers. Gunnar Cheese, welcome. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on the live stream behind the scenes on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages. I'm Boston Christopher. Taylor Dallas Vidic is well known to Juno audiences as both an amazing musician and an event producer. I put that at the title in the beginning. And now she's combining all of those talents and channeling that energy into making her first album. And she's got some amazing collaborators, one being Spencer Eckers. Gunnar Cheese, Shat Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Was Iti, lift that microphone up a little bit, Spencer, so it's closer to you. You got to be a little bit closer. How's it going, Was Iti? What's going on?
It's going good. Got back from Anchorage last night, so I'm still rebounding a little bit, leaning back into, or I guess arriving back in quote-unquote real life. But we just had a really long, big weekend up in Anchorage at Frostline Studios with Derek Hawkes and that whole team. And, yeah, there were like 20. I did an Instagram post today to kind of just show everybody who the team was. And there were 20 of us in the studio last weekend, which was not what I had initially imagined. But I have this habit of letting things get away from me a little bit.
I love that. That's so cool. And you, what is your Insta so people can follow? Because you're following this journey by sharing it with us, which I think is really cool in terms of making this album. How do we follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Taylor Dallas Vidic.
Taylor Dallas Vidic.
And then I also have a website, taylorvidic.com, where I get to dive in a little bit deeper and tell people more and show ways to support the project. And then also on Facebook as well at Taylor Vidic.
Taylor Vidic, okay. And that's really cool. And I have a photo here of, I think this is one of them that I'll show on the stream here. And I'll post these on the website too for the episode. But it looks like it's Spencer in front of the Frostline Studios or in the booth hanging out. Is that you in there?
I think so. I think I was there. Yeah.
You were there. That's you. I'm pretty sure that's you. That's kind of cool. And then I have another photo here of this looks like an album cover. This is you on the floor with your eyes closed, Taylor, and you're just sitting there taking it all in. You're listening to headphones. Are you listening to a song right there?
I was listening to the other people recording. So we had Spencer arranged five of my songs, two of which with an entire, the full ensemble was a four-piece string section, three horns, and a rhythm section. And what was cool about Frostline and what Derek did for us is he set up different zones within the recording studio. And so we were all segmented into those various groups. And then I had my own little voicing booth. So it's a photo of me sitting in that voicing booth while all of that magic that Spencer created happens around me.
That's amazing. I do want to talk about your collaboration a little bit, but let's talk first about how this came about. You are part of that group that's in town here, the Muskeg Collective, and you all formed, I think it's almost a couple years now, at least close to it, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's almost 2 years maybe. But one of the things that you were all doing was challenging each other to make more songs, make more music, make albums, and just sort of be there to support each other. And Josh Fortenberry had made his album. There's a couple. I know the Heists are working on something.
Yeah.
And you're in there. Annie Bartholomew's in there. Mm-hmm. And she had her album come out. And so this seems like it's been in process.
That's a good way to put it, Boston.
So tell us about that process. Like, where did you start, and did you have like not enough songs, did you think, for the album, or where was your thinking at? Like, why are you doing it now as opposed to a year ago?
Yeah, I am one part artist and one part human being, and there's a lot of overlap, right? But I had plans to record my album a couple years ago, and many of these songs I've been performing for the last decade, and I was lucky enough to be a recipient of a Rasmussen Award 2 years ago. So I've just been sitting on those funds, waiting for an opportunity to use them, or I guess making the time and space for the opportunity to use them. And life became a lot over the last couple of years, and it's, I don't know if it's simmering down or if I'm just realizing it's eventually you just have to do it and power through the challenge of it all and do your thing.
Now, I listed you as an event producer because you're really good at it. And I'm wondering, did that get in the way too? Like, not prioritizing yourself, but prioritizing other events?
Boston, you are my favorite interviewer in town, and I love it and I hate it all at the same time. Yes, I would say that that is true. I started telling myself, you're not allowed to book any side gigs, Taylor, until you've recorded your album. I was doing a lot of work with Ock Rock, which has been put on hold. And so it's all of these things come together to make more space for me to focus on my art.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think putting yourself first, but is so important. But the idea that you aren't alone is also important.
Yeah.
Because you have so many musician friends and so much support. But then you mentioned that Spencer's arranging some of your songs. So talk about that songwriting process a little bit in terms of how does that work between you two?
Yeah, I wrote the song, or I've been writing the songs over several years, and I gave Spencer the lyrics and the chords and said, on your market set, I trust you. And then Spencer does a lot of magic that I'll let him tell you about.
Lots of hours in front of a computer, for sure. And what you just heard us, you know, playing duo together is kind of really where we started in our collaboration when we met in Seattle in 2018.
Wow. Mm.
And so a lot of these songs, actually, I've been just playing with Taylor for years at this point.
Mm.
And so I've, you know, become very familiar with them. And then that allows me to, you know, really hit the ground running. And we came up with some really cool stuff. And we're really excited to hear it.
So, because I know a lot of times people who may be listening who have seen Taylor out and about, a lot of times you might be doing it solo. You might just be you and a guitar. There's a few times where I've seen you have Spencer and maybe a couple other musicians be part of that, but they're still just playing like the songs that you wrote, sort of as you wrote them. So Spencer, when you get that info from Taylor, like, what are you doing? I'm just curious about, I can't wait to hear this album. Like, what are we going to hear on the album that might be different than what is going to be played down at the Crystal someday when she has an album release party?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, you know, we just kind of blow the doors wide open on these songs. And I think a big theme is that we really tried to adapt them into a more sort of like contemporary jazz style. And so we've got the horns on there. We've got beautiful strings on two of these songs. And so, yeah, it's taking it from, you know, just a basic, you know, sort of strumming pattern on a guitar and going and giving a lot of the musicians some creativity, especially in the rhythm section, to really, you know, use their imagination and their musicianship to create a whole new world for these songs.
That's so cool. And you have a background in composition, right?
Don't
you have a degree in it or something?
I have my master's degree in film scoring, which is how I learned like orchestration and arranging and whatnot. And then I've just been playing saxophone and piano for a long time. And so sometimes I wing it too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, that's part of jazz too, right? Is to sort of have a little bit of fun with it. And so Taylor, Spencer's not the only collaborator though, right? There's other folks. You mentioned you had like a group of 20. Now, you took some people from Juno up to Anchorage to Frostline? How did you choose Frostline, first of all?
Derek Hawkes was the show director for Ock Rock, was the title that we gave him. So I met him through that. He plays with Yatsin. He's been playing with Brother Buffalo. He's an incredible artist and also a very kind person that I feel really safe and comfortable with.
Mm.
And I've got some imposter syndrome going into a recording studio for the first time. So it was really important to me to get to feel safe. Also, Richard, who owns Frostline Studios, has come down to Juneau with his crew in the past and helped us. He helped us do fundraisers for Ok Rock and just the Alaska music scene in general. So it felt like a really safe incubator for me to come. And it also could fit the size that the project became, which I didn't realize how important that was until we got there. But it would have been a very challenging thing to record in 3 days in any other space that I've seen in Alaska.
How much of the album did you record up there?
So I'm actually breaking my album into two halves because I like to be this jazz songstress, but I also am a singer-songwriter and I want to honor those roots as well. So we recorded the first half of the album. The second half of the album will be recorded later in the year, and that is going to sound a lot more like what you would hear from me when I am downtown playing with the friends who I'm able to rope along. So I wanted to capture some more of my roots and what I'm able to produce more solo.
And then
this was just the dream big, there's a big band, what are you going to do with it? And now I'm dreaming bigger and I'm like, well, we have to play these songs live with these arrangements. So how do I now fly 7 people down from Anchorage? Because we had folks from Anchorage. Ed Littlefield came up, who's usually based down in Seattle. Chaz Gist from Ketchikan. So we were about 50-50 from Anchorage and from Juneau.
Wow, that's amazing. And how did your heart hold up? Like in terms of, was it, I can't imagine it being like overwhelmed in moments.
Yeah, I kept trying to find words for what I was doing. We opened the session by introducing ourselves and I wanted to pause and explain how I knew everybody that was in the room.
Mm.
And like Spencer and I met working on boats in Seattle in 2018, getting paid minimum wage and sweeping popcorn off the deck, you know? And then there's Kat Moore, who I got to perform with in Annie's Sisters of Whitechapel musical and traveled to the Netherlands to play with this summer.
Mm.
And then Kate Ross came up and acted as our studio manager just to help keep the spreadsheets in order and make sure everybody got fed. And I got to tell Kate that I saw her perform for the first time her senior year of high school in Les Mis.
That's so funny.
It just felt like such a cool, I don't know. I'm not married and I don't have kids, but this weekend I got to record an album and I think it is in a similar echelon of important moments in my life.
That's really cool. And Kate is another one, Kate Ross, another local Junoite who's a wonderful artist as well as producer person. Those brains who can do both of those things are pretty amazing. Well, like we said, you can follow Taylor's journey at her website, TaylorVidick.com. She's on Instagram, Taylor Dallas Vidick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is just Taylor Vidick. And you're going to be posting your journey in terms of how you're making this album, how it's possible to make this album, and all of the artists that are there with you. And the collaboration that you have with Spencer, I want to play this as we go out of the interview today. And we'll have you back. You're on the show all the time, but you're going to come back when the album's coming out for sure. And we'll do a whole Songwriters on Songwriters with you on the album. That'll be really cool. But maybe we can get some symphony pieces in the studio here. But this thing that we're going to play was from 2 summers ago now, I think, right?
Yeah.
Was it 2 summers ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, time just goes fast.
That's why all of a sudden you're like, shoot, I got to record my album. You know, it's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years. And this is a song called Cat and Mouse. And Spencer arranged this song, and you worked with the Juneau Symphony, right?
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And was that the first time you collaborated in terms of that size of piece, in terms of working with the symphony?
Yes, yeah, okay. That was...
First time performing with dozens and dozens of people behind me, that's for sure.
Yeah. So this will be a good sense of what we might hear on that portion of the album in terms of the style of what Spencer's doing, in addition to then the other half of the album that Taylor talked about, which will be more singer-songwriting, which will be kind of cool to have both of those things in one album. Does the album have a title yet?
I think it's going to be called Cat and Mouse, just to signify the two different halves.
Yeah, I love that.
That's what we're working with right now.
Awesome. So. Well, TaylorVidick.com for all the info. And also, you can find out more about Spencer at skre.live. That's your website. And there's some history about his film compositions on there and everything. So thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh, for coming in today. This is going to be a little bit of Cat and Mouse with the Juno Symphony from 2 summers ago. I think it was June.
June,
I remember going to that. Yeah,
yeah.
June 2023. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll talk with General Manager and Vice President Cheryl Snyder about David Sedaris happening next week here in Juno. Here's the song, Cat and Mouse.
It is now my great pleasure to welcome to the stage Taylor Vidick.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno.
More at heritagecoffee.com.
The Juno Arts and Humanities Council Gallery exhibit awaits creation. Applications are now open for the Jack Gallery Program running October 2025 through September 2026. Proposals must be received by 11:59 p.m. on May 15, 2025. Call the Jack at 907-586-ARTS or visit jahc.org for complete details and to submit applications. Creations eagerly anticipated. This message brought to you by the Jack.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by KTOO's Vice President and General Manager, Cheryl Snyder. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today, Cheryl. Was E.T., how are you?
I'm doing quite well, Boston. Thank you so much for having me in this afternoon. It's always fun to get on your show.
Yeah, of course. And I know we have, the reason you're here today is we have a very special event happening next week, and it's a fundraiser for KTOO.
Yeah, actually, it's not next week. It's the week after. You gave me a little heart attack there. You're a week early, but it's okay.
May 15th. Not May yet.
Yeah, well, we're almost to May. Tomorrow, May. Yes. But May 15th, David Sedaris will be back in Juno for one night. He's going to do just one show while he's here. And that's going to happen at the high school. Doors are going to open at 6 o'clock because Hearthside Books is going to be on hand and they're going to be selling a bunch of his books. And one of the things that David loves to do when he comes and does one of his performances is sign books and talk to people as much as they want to talk to him. So he starts the book signing before the show, and then after the show is him reading, and then he does a Q&A, and then afterwards, back out in the lobby, he will set up, and he does not leave until the last person who is there waiting to connect with him is done. So, he loves to meet people. He's very gregarious and is just so excited his third time back in Juno.
That's what I was going to say. It's his third time. So what is it about Juno that he loves so much?
You know, I was thinking about that a little bit. What I do know is that on his first visit here, his people, his handlers, were really, really nervous. And I kept getting messages like every day. I would get one or two emails as we were leading up to his arrival. They were really nervous about like all the details of like what was his room going to be like and what kind of food options. And he really needs to be at the hall at this time. And when he arrived, he was actually such a sweetheart, like a very quirky sweetheart, but like such a sweetheart. And after that visit, his people called me back and they were like, he had an incredible time and he would love to come back again. So I think it's the Juno hospitality. I think it's the beauty of this place. And he likes to just get a vibe of the people who live here. He, the time that I've been with him sort of bringing him from place to place, he asks a lot of questions. He carries around a notebook often, not always, but often, and he like take notes on things that people say. So it's a little bit intimidating if you're like having a meal with him and he's like jotting down, you say a thing and it goes
you're
in
like,
the book.
I'm going to end up in a story or something.
Exactly.
But so let's back up just a second, though. Who is David Sedaris?
Yeah, we missed the headline here, didn't we, Boston?
Who is he?
David Sedaris is a writer, a humorist, an essayist. He has did a lot of things in the creative space in his very younger years, but he wrote a story called The Santaland Diaries, which got onto This American Life. It was produced as a This American Life segment back in like 1996 or 1997. And that launched for him a career in NPR and sort of put him on this much, much bigger platform that maybe would have happened for him or maybe wouldn't have. But for years, he was doing regular essays for This American Life. It has now become a thing on NPR. Every Christmas, Santaland Diaries is his reading of it is played again. But, you know, his writing, he has several books out now. Calypso, Me Talk Pretty Someday is one of the big ones that a lot of people read and talked a lot about. Happy Go Lucky is the last book that he wrote, and that one came out in 2022, and that was part of his book tour for that he was up here. And that one, you know, he's really funny, and he's really, I already used the word quirky to describe him. He's got a little bit of a twisted sense of humor. His last book, he was processing a lot of his relationship with his dad, so it was a little deeper and a little bit sadder, but even in the darkness, he finds a lot of humor. So, yeah, I mean, that's who he is. His sister is Amy Sedaris, who's very famous in her own right, an actress, so... Yeah, the Sedaris family does a lot of different things.
Pretty talented. I guess that's the joke, is like when he's taking notes at dinner, because he is an observationist, right? He's a satirist, but he's taking observations from life and sort of turning them upside down or seeing it through whatever his glasses are in terms
his
of
lens.
How he sees the world.
Yes.
And so I can imagine that, especially growing up on the East Coast, that coming to a place like Alaska – and especially a small town like Juneau, or even some, you know, I know he goes up to Anchorage too when he comes into town, but just seeing that kind of lifestyle is different enough for him. And then he's meeting real people too, you know, he's meeting the people who are, you know, down to earth. Whereas maybe if you're in New York, you get people, high maintenance people. And so I feel like he's seeing the world, right? And seeing it in a different way than he might normally. And then he can write about that and process his own worldview through that. He's very funny. He's hilarious. And I know that a lot of listeners know him and have heard him on NPR before, you know, and that kind of thing. So, and it's great that he's coming back though, right? He's coming back on May 15th. It's going to be at 7:00. Doors will open at 6 because he's going to do the signing, like you said, beforehand, right? So if you have books that you already have, you can bring those and he'll sign them. And he loves talking to people. I love standing by the thing and just listening to the conversations he has, because he is so interested in people, which is just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And he loves like really sort of out there kind of esoteric questions of him. So if you're preparing for him to sign your book, ask him something that he's not expecting.
Yeah.
And you'll get a great answer.
Oh, that's pretty great. And this is a fundraiser for KTOO. And how much are the tickets, and how do I get tickets?
Yeah, tickets are $45. It's a flat fee. But you do get to pick your seat. And of course, a lot of the seats in the front are starting to go pretty fast. You can get your ticket just by going to ktoo.org. You can click the link there and it gives you a little bit more information about what to expect for the evening. Or you can go directly to the JAX website and they've got their box office set up there. We also, if you want to buy your ticket in person, go to the JAC. They're selling for us. We're not selling them directly from our front office, but you can buy them in person over at the JAC.
Over at the JAC Gallery, sure. That's easy enough to do. David Sedaris is so funny. He's going to be at Juneau Douglas High School Yeda'akafle Auditorium on May 15th, which is two Thursdays from now, I think, right?
Yes,
or maybe
right.
Three if you count tomorrow, because tomorrow's there. I was thinking today was Thursday for some reason, but it's not. And it's May 15th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45, and you can go to kto.org/Sedaris or just kto.org and hit the banner up there. And we'd love to see you there, right?
Yes, we will absolutely love to see you there. It will be a great time for the community to come together. And I'll just say real quick, because I've had a few people asking me about it. The last time he was here, Libby Bacalar got to open for him. I don't know if that's going to happen again. I've planted the seed. I've told Libby to clear the deck. So it's possible that Libby Bacalar of One Hot Mess Alaska will be on stage with him again. So you'll just have to come and find out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Cheryl, for joining us.
Thank you,
David Sedaris,
Boston.
May 15th. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll talk with Ben Brown, chairman of the board for the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is hatlik-uch.
Hatlik-uch.
That means porcupine. And here's a sentence.
Hatlik-uch. Kageinach-yaga-guch.
Porcupines walk down slowly. Let's hear it again.
Hatlik-uch.
Porcupine. Gunash Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yen Yedi man. She is from Daislean, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Takhu Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Juno Chamber of Commerce Board President Ben Brown to talk more about their upcoming Spirits of Alaska event, as well as some luncheon guest previews and more. Gunath Chish, IUD, thanks for coming in. Ben, Gunath Chish, how are you? Wasiati.
I'm very well. Thank you, Boston. It's good to be here, as always.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are keeping busy at the Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce, and tomorrow's luncheon will feature Alex Pierce, who listeners will know is the tourism manager for the city and borough of Juneau. Obviously, with cruise ships coming in every other day now, visitor season is upon us, well and truly. And, of course, given some things happening nationally with federal agencies, there have been some challenges. So I think people who are interested in the visitor industry and the way the city and borough of Juneau as a local government helps manage the impacts and make sure we provide the best possible experience for visitors might want to come. So that'll be tomorrow at noon in the lounge at TK McGuire's. And people ought to have registered by now, but I imagine if you go online and if it lets you register, you can still have lunch. People are always welcome just to come and watch the program for a reduced fee if they didn't register in time to actually have lunch.
Because just as a reminder for folks, you don't have to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce to go to the luncheons.
Nope, not at all. You just need to go to junochamber.com and register or show up if you don't want to buy lunch.
Right. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I know Alex has been coming to a lot of the luncheons lately, and I know that there have been a lot of meetings going on. Last Thursday, there was a panel discussion with representatives of some of the cruise lines and assembly members at the City Hall. And that was reported greatly in the media. So if people want to hear some follow-up on some of the things that were discussed at that meeting last week, I would encourage them to come to lunch tomorrow at TK McGuire's in the Ramada by Wyndham.
Nice. Okay. Now, the other big event that you have coming up is it's this month, right? It's like in a couple, it's like a week from Sunday, I think.
Well, since tomorrow is the 1st of May, it's actually technically next month, but it is right around the corner. It's 1 week from this Saturday. It's the 10th of May, and it's Spirits of Alaska, and it's an event we've done for a few years now. Very grateful to our friends and Juneau Chamber members, the Gold Belt Tram, for letting us do it up at the top of the tram again. So the Saturday, the 10th of May, is a no-ship day. So there will not be any visitors here on cruise ships that day. And that's a great opportunity for people who want to get up to the top of the tram before it's mobbed with people from around the world to do so. But not only does this event take you to the top of the tram, but it's an opportunity to taste spirits from distilleries here in Juneau and around the state of Alaska. So I believe we have 9 different distilleries who will be represented there. From Anchorage, from Southeast, I think 1 or 2 from the interior. And they have gin, they have vodka, they have all sorts of various things. We will have, you know, plenty of hors d'oeuvres that are part of the price of admission to make sure that people are eating while they're tasting those spirits. And hopefully it'll be a beautiful day. I got to go do a walkabout up there a week ago today, and hadn't been up to the tram since the year before last. I was out of town when we did this event last year. It's looking great up there. The folks at Gold Belt have really reconfigured it to make it very accommodating and welcoming. That little back deck will be open, assuming it's going to be a nice sunny day and 70 degrees.
Let's hope so.
Well, I mean, I figure between now and then it's going to rain every day, so what are the chances, right? Yeah, you know, Boston, you've been here long enough to know,
Yeah. Plan
the weather odds. But certainly we've had really nice weather in years past, and so it's a fundraiser for the Chamber. It helps make sure that we have the resources to do all the work that we do to promote the economic vitality and health of Juneau's economy. People can get those tickets at junochamber.com as well. One thing that we do for some of our members, especially the ones at the higher level, benefactor diamond level, is they get tickets to some of our events as part of their membership. Mm. So a lot of the tickets are being claimed by those business members and being distributed to some of their employees. But there's a limited number for sale to anyone. Again, you don't have to be a chamber member to attend. So if you're looking for an excuse to go up the tram before we're awash in visitors, this might be the perfect opportunity.
Does the... Within the ticket price, does that include the tram?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Okay. So it's all in one thing.
It's all in one. It gets you up and back, unless you want to hike down. But it also includes the hors d'oeuvres and the ability to taste as many of the spirits as you would like. But our folks at the tram are going to have their regular bar open if someone wants a glass of beer or wine or whatever. You're not forced to drink only gin and vodka.
I see. Okay. And that's the Spirits of Alaska. It's on May 10th. I'm already in May. I know today's the 30th of April, but I thought it was tomorrow for some reason, which is May 1st. And my birthday's in May, so I'm already in May.
Right.
But it's May 10th, which is on a Saturday, and it's at 5:30 p.m., and it's at the top of the Gold Belt Tram, and you can find out more information at junochamber.com. And one more thing I definitely wanted to ask you about was you are, for those who would be interested, has the job been posted for the executive director of the Juno Chamber of Commerce?
Excellent question, and I was hoping you would ask that. I would have brought it up had you not. Yes, so when our last executive director decided to move to a different position, our former executive director, Craig Dahl, decided to step in at our request and is helping, you know, manage the chamber in that capacity on a temporary basis. And he's done a great job. It's great to have Craig back. But we on the executive committee have worked with him. And yes, we have posted the job description. If you go to junochamber.com, there is a dedicated page that talks about our search for a new executive director. Anyone who's interested can read about the description of the position there, what the salary parameters are going to be, what other perks are a part of the compensation package. You know, we don't want to rush this. We want to find the right person who wants to be in the position for a meaningful amount of time. It's a very important job. We have a small staff. Michaela is our new executive assistant. We brought her on board since the last time I was on the air with you here. She is a delight, so you can meet her if you come to the chamber lunch tomorrow. She'll certainly be at Spirits of Alaska. We are also going to be recruiting for an administrative coordinator. So we basically have a staff of three. There's an executive director, a person who works as an executive assistant to that director. So that's Craig and Michaela right now, but Craig is going to be moving back on towards his long planned and well-deserved retirement.
Yeah.
So his successor will be the person who becomes executive director. And we are poised. I just spoke with Craig earlier today to get the administrative coordinator position up on the website as well. So there will be two employment opportunities. One is currently open and people can look at that and submit a resume if they want to. And the other one should be open very, very soon. And we hope to have all three of those positions filled. Again, we're not in a rush. We want to get the right person, the right people, so that we can continue doing the good work that we do at the chamber.
I love it. Well, Ben, we'll see you again next month. It's the Juno Chamber of Commerce, junochamber.com. Spirits of Alaska is on Saturday, May 10th. The luncheons happen every Thursday, right? Every Thursday?
They are every Thursday. Yeah. And that's another thing. If you go to the website, you can see what future luncheon speakers are. And there was some question about who was going to be next week, but Craig's working on that. So perhaps by the time we do lunch tomorrow, I'll be able to announce who will be up next week. And one other thing I would mention, without getting into any of the details of our advocacy work, you know, we continue to monitor things going on at the local level, the budget process, which is very important. And then there are a few pieces of legislation that we, in association with our colleagues at the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, have been monitoring up in the Capitol. But I think the truth of the fact is not a lot of things are moving in the Capitol right now. They've been a little bit stalled on education and the budget. So, but nevertheless, that people can learn more about that at our website as well. And, you know, we want to make sure that we are being a conduit for the business community and the wider community to advocate for good policies that make our economy healthy.
Yeah, you can find out all that information at junochamber.com. Ben, thanks so much for coming in. Gunalchish.
Gunalchish, thank you, Boston.
Appreciate it. Up next, we'll talk with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council about the Arts Roundup and First Friday. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. There's nothing like a signature sauce, marinara, chimichurri, beurre blanc, to make you feel accomplished in the kitchen. But possibly the easiest signature sauce is teriyaki. The Japanese word teriyaki comes from teri, which means shine, and yaki, to grill. In other words, Teriyaki is a glaze for grilled foods. It yields a sticky, fragrant finish when sugars break down and morph into new and wildly interesting flavors and aromas. Let's create your own signature teriyaki sauce. First, pick a sweetener. White or brown sugar, honey, concentrated juices like orange or pineapple, or even a little molasses. Use just one sweetener or experiment with a combo. Next, something acidic. Rice wine vinegar is a good start, or branch out with a Filipino style like Sukong Iloco or a Chinese black vinegar. What about pineapple vinegar from Mexico? And salt. Soy sauce, tamari, or fish sauce all fit the bill beautifully. Last, but definitely not least, a little something from the spice cabinet to make people scratch their heads and wonder. Lemongrass, star anise, cinnamon, bay leaf, smoky Aleppo pepper flakes. This is the flourish on your signature. Bring your mixture to a boil, allowing the sugars to melt and the spices to infuse the liquid. Want to feel like a real pro? Get yourself one of those plastic squirt bottles from the kitchen store. Fill with sauce and sign your name to your next meal. Find the full recipe for an all-purpose teriyaki sauce you can signaturize at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on the live stream behind the scenes on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm Boston Christopher, and as we enter another month, it's another First Friday, and it's time for the Arts Preview with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and I am joined, as always, by Rochelle Bonet, and as well as the artist for this Friday's opening, Alec Tai. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Now I know what day it is. It's Wednesday.
Yes.
how's it going, Gunath
Cheese? It's going good. How are
good.
You?
I'm excellent. So another First Friday. So let's start there, I guess, in terms of what's going on.
Sure. This First Friday is looking to be pretty busy. We have all of the usual spots. We have our show at the Jack. We've got new shows over at both museums. And we have some really fun new things going on. Like, I see that Juneau Makerspace is having a social dance party.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of at the end of First Friday. You can go downtown, see all the places, and then head over to Douglas and go check that out. We also have a performance by the Taku Winds happening at the Holy Trinity. So.
And when is that? Is that on Friday as well?
It is, and I think it's also at the end, after the 7 p.m. time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I think they're on the show tomorrow to talk about that.
I think so,
yeah. Okay, awesome. Awesome. So, and of course, you can find all the stuff on First Friday, all the listings, and if you want to put your event in the First Friday listings, you can do all of that at jahc.org. /First-Friday, or just go to the First Friday link on the homepage. And because I know people can enter in their info, right, on there?
Yes, they can, yes. And if you're out there listening and you want to be reminded to put your event info in our form, just reach out to us. We have a monthly email that we sent out to get all of that information.
Oh, you do like a little bump to remind people.
Yeah, we do. So that's like the most current list of everything that's happening around town. You can pull it up on your phone. You can carry that around with you.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah, because there's so many. There's like how many? It's usually like 30 or so spots, right?
This month, I think we have 16 different events happening. But sometimes we do get upwards of 30. And then, of course, during Gallery Walk, we get 50, 60 different events.
Yeah, that December one goes crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's quickly talk about grants and scholarship deadlines. We have some grants that are due soon, right?
Tomorrow? Yes.
May 1st.
May 1st is the deadline for grants and scholarships. So that's individual artist grants, CBJ major grants, and the fine art and youth scholarship funds that we give out. Yes.
And there's a bunch of them, right?
There
so
are.
Go over that one more time. Individual
artist grants, CBJ major grants.
Okay.
We have the youth fine art scholarships, and there's an advanced arts achievement award. Those two are both for youth, like I think middle school to high school and then college level students who are in doing something in the fine arts.
And do we just go to jhc.org for all of that too?
Yes. There's a button on our homepage that you can scroll down to and click, and it'll take you to the master page that explains everything, all the eligibility, the requirements, what the award amounts are. And you can, you know, if you have more questions, just give us a call.
So is the due date tonight at midnight or is it tomorrow at midnight?
Tomorrow at midnight.
So May 1st. I always get confused about that.
I know.
Right? So it's like, is it May 1st inclusive or not, right? So May 1st. So if you get started on it tonight, you can finish it in the morning and then submit it. You have until midnight tomorrow, Thursday, May 1st, to get your applications in for all the grants.
That's right.
Okay. And then finally, the wearable art. We're saving a date already?
We are saving a date. In fact, I think we're just about to make this announcement widely, but Wearable Art 2026 is actually moving to February to its normal time.
We're going back to February.
We are going back to February. So everybody save the date for February 14th and 15th, 2026.
Okay. So we did the fall like one time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we said, nah.
You know, we had some folks that were excited about that, but a lot of people, both artists and community members, they were like, maybe we can bring it back to February. So we were able to do it for this next time.
I think that's great. I think that's awesome. So that is going to be next February 2026. I can't believe it. That's kind of nuts. but wearable art, we don't know a theme or anything yet.
We do have a theme. It's camp with an exclamation mark.
I can't wait to see that. I want a Charlie Brown costume. I think that would be really funny.
It'll be fun.
Okay. And Alec Dye, who is the gallery artist for the whole month of May. Gwyneth Cheesh, welcome. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to Alec with a C, alecdye.com, or you can look at some of Alec's work on Instagram at alec_dye, D-Y-E, on Instagram, and you can see the pages. And I actually love your website because I went there, and it's just one page. It's basically, it says gallery, and it's it's basically photos. There's no information about him. But then I saw somewhere else that do you consider yourself like a hermit?
I feel like I did two shows this year. I did Crab Show 2 at Alaska Robotics, and then I did this one. And I felt like for the past 5 months, I was just in my studio just cranking out paintings. And people are like, where's Alec? And he's like, I don't know. He came back. He has a beard now.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't? You grew a beard because you just said, I got too much work to do.
I did.
Forget shaving. I don't shave either much of the time. That's so funny.
It helped the creative process.
Right.
Well,
it's also that artist look, right? It's sort of like deep in thought, like, you know, deep introspective artist look. So tell me a little bit about your work in terms of what kind of things do you do? What forms do you work in? All that kind of stuff.
Well, this show in particular kind of started when I first moved to Juneau about 3 or so years ago. I didn't know too many people, so I'd go to bars at night and just bring my watercolors and pens with me and just hanging out at the bar and try to draw people and try to draw the bar. So it was kind of my way to connect with Juno and the greater world by through my creative process.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm going to bring up your website so we can see what kind of stuff it is. It's very colorful too.
Yeah.
Where do you get your color inspiration from?
Well, I just try to use kind of the raw watercolors where there's only perhaps maybe two colors mixed together, but mostly it's just the primary pigments just thrown in there for like the very visceral pop.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you always doing crabs?
No, that was a fluke. That was I'm originally from Los Angeles, so I'm more familiar with crabs in a supermarket than I guess how most Alaskans are, where they see the whole thing. So that whole series was kind of me exploring, you know, what crabs were by just drawing them over and over again and kind of figuring out, it's like, well, what do their mouths look like? What do their eyes look like? And it's like, well, what happens if one was wearing a cowboy hat? And just like, we kind of went in weird directions with it.
Oh, I see. Or what if they have like sailor arms? Because this one has an arm with an anchor on it.
Yeah. Then what if it had human teeth, you know?
Right.
There was a lot going on with those shows, and the public really responded well to some of those. But it was a fun show to make, and it was a fun show to watch people enjoy.
And then I really love this wanted poster mm-hmm. that you have here. And you can follow along on alecdye.com or alec_dye on Instagram. Tell me about this wanted poster.
I really liked the cowboy crab motif, and I decided to keep expanding that out. So there's a wanted poster, and that was, so my artistic process is not digital at all. So everything's like physical collage and watercolor and pens and colored pencils and things like that. And so because, you know, posters in this day and age, they're all graphic design. It's all done in like Adobe Illustrator, things like that. And so it was kind of fun to take this idea of a crab cowboy wanted poster and just explore like how to make your own typography and how to arrange things physically without a computer.
I see. Okay, that's cool. What can we expect at Friday's opening?
This is a very personal show to me. This is kind of the best sketches I've done of Juno over the course of my time here. And they include several bar scenes. They include the visitor center and some of the exteriors of, think of the when people think Juno, they think of the natural beauty, and for good reason, because it's a very stunning location. But there's other facets to Juno, too, like the structures beyond the pump house, because I know a lot of people like drawing the pump house, but there's the visitor center and the federal building and all these things that are part of our everyday life that we kind of, maybe we don't pay no mind to because we live here and we're just used to it. But my hope is that showing you these scenes that you normally overlook, you can look at them with fresh eyes and kind of appreciate them, kind of give yourself a little distance from them.
I see. Okay, that's cool. And Rochelle, this is opening on Friday there's a reception and everything. Can you give us the details on that?
Yes, there's an opening reception on Friday. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. over at the Jack.
Okay, 4 to 7 p.m. on first Friday. That's really awesome. And the work is so cool. I appreciate that. And how long have you been working in that sort of way?
About 5 or so years in that specific way. In Los Angeles, I went to college for printmaking.
Okay.
And I guess that's where I fell in love with like the physicality of the art medium itself.
Yeah, I love the tangibility mm-hmm. of it as opposed to doing it on the computer or whatever.
Yeah.
There's something about that. Although then you get stuck in your studio for months and months and months and nobody sees you and your friends say, where did Alec go? Well, where Alec went is making all this work, and he's gonna show up on Friday from 4 to 7 for the reception, and the show will hang for the entire month of May over at the Jack. For more information, go to jahc.org for everything First Friday and everything also that's going on at the Jack. I really appreciate you both being here today, Alec Dye and Rochelle Bonnet from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Gonna cheese.
Thanks for having us.
And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, previews of the upcoming events from the Juno Community Bands and Juno City Museum, plus a look at the Maritime Festival happening this Saturday. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Program support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Gunath Cheesh!